relevant, engaging, authentic life, real. And last week, we talked about sharing your story. And the title of last week's message was Relevant Fishermen. Jesus used an analogy. And as he called his disciples, and he says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we talked about that last week, that we have been given a mandate to become fishermen of men. And we had three things that we talked about last week. One is use bait. We know that the gospel is the hook. That's what changes a fish's life. It's not the bait that changes their life, it's the hook. But a lot of times, fish don't bite hooks that don't have bait on them. The bait is your story. Every one of us has a unique story. We have been, God has worked in our lives uniquely. There are no two people that are alike. We all have a unique story. Some of you have dynamic stories. Some of your stories you think, oh, it's not even worth telling. But let me tell you something. No matter where you are, and no matter where you've been, there are other people in this world who have faced and are facing some of the things that you have overcome through Christ. Maybe you haven't been on alcohol. Maybe you haven't been on drugs. But maybe you messed up in some other area of your life. Maybe you've had multiple marriages, or maybe you've had a child out of wedlock. I don't know what your story is, and it doesn't really matter. It's your story. The good things that have happened in your life, the bad things that have happened in your life, they all shape who you are, and they make up your life. And there are stories that need to be told. I'm going back and reconstructing my service, because next month we're going to do a series called Real Stories. And we're actually bringing some people in that are going to be sharing their stories. Three of those will be pretty dynamic. The last one, which will be mine, will probably not be that dynamic. But it is my story. And we have a responsibility as believers to tell our story. I shared a story. How many of you were here last week? Let me see your hand. How many of you were not here last week? Let me see your... How many of you never raise your hand no matter what? Okay. Well, I shared a story last week about me dealing with being OCD. And I thought maybe that will connect with five or six people. I think it connected with more people than it didn't connect with. When I was going through that as a child, fourth, fifth grade, I thought I was crazy. I absolutely thought that I was losing my mind. I was so compulsive with numbers and all of those kind of things, and I had to do certain things or bad things would happen, and it was very tormenting. And I never felt like I could ever share that with anybody, because they would know that I was crazy. And then after I became an adult, in fact, I overcame some of it when I became a Christian and found out that God is not the killer. See, I always thought that if I did certain things, God would kill my parents. That was the torment that I dealt with as a child. That if I did certain things, God would punish me. He would take one of my parents away from me, or both of them. And it was a fear. And it was so driven. But I could never share that because to me, it was so crazy. If I shared that with anybody, they would put me in the you-know-where, where they wrap people up in coats. And one day, after I became a Christian, after I became an adult, I was talking to someone, and they shared how they had dealt with OCD, and what they described was exactly the things, the thoughts that I had and the things that I had gone through. That was very liberating to me. And as I shared about that last week and asked how many of you thought I was crazy, some of you thought I was crazy, but more people identified with it than didn't. And this is one of the lies that the devil tells us sometimes, that you're the only one that's ever dealt with this. You're the only one that's ever thought this way. Can I tell you that's not true? There's a whole bunch of people that deal with the same fears, the same insecurities, all of the same garbage that we deal with as human beings. And if you have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus and have been set free of things in your past, you have a story to tell. Now, if you hadn't been set free and you hadn't been redeemed, you don't have a story yet. See, because the stories that I'm talking about, they have God moments in it. I remember my God moment. I'm going to share with you my God moment. It changed my life. My life turned around from that point. And I was never the same again. Never the same again. But every one of us has a story, and it will connect with people. And God strategically brings people into your life that need to hear your story. So we talked about using bait, which is your story. Number two, we talked about putting your bait in the water. This was real deep stuff last week. Put your bait in the water. You got to get the story out there. You know what? If you never cast the bait, you'll never catch a fish. You don't catch a fish on every cast. Now, some are better at it than others, Kevin. I know that. But you don't catch a fish every time you cast. But you'll never catch a fish if you never cast. And the more you cast, the more fish you'll catch. So put your bait in the water. Get your story out there. You got to tell it. It's part of your stewardship. It's just as important as paying tithes and offerings and being faithful and all. You got to share your story. You got to put your bait in the water. And you got to fish where the fish are. Let me tell you where the fish are. I'm talking about the lost fish. They're out there. We probably have a whole lot more saved people here today than we have lost people. Okay? Out there is where the fish are. See, the fish are where you work. The fish are where you shop. The fish may work for you. You may work for the fish that you're trying to catch. There are people out there. And you know, and it doesn't matter if they're poor or working class or wealthy. Everybody has problems. And everybody needs the Savior. And don't be afraid to share your story. God brings people into your life for you to share your story. And it's important that we do that. Now, I have challenged you, and I hope you take my challenge serious. I want every one of you to write your story. You're not writing it for me. If you want to share it with me, I'd love to read it. But you're not writing it for me. You're writing it for you. As I begin to reconstruct my story, I've been working on that sermon that I'm going to do in about, 6 weeks from today. I'm going to share my story. I've been working on it for a couple of months. I've been reconstructing the history of what I'm going to share. It has stirred my heart to go back and look at my own story of my God moment, of where I was when God changed my life, what I was dealing with and what I was going through. And I think that if you have not shared your story in the last 30 days, you need to write your story. Because probably if you hadn't shared it in the last 30 days, you're probably not sharing your story. And every one of us, no matter who we are that are believers, we have a responsibility to share our story. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate. Not my mandate. It's His mandate. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. See, we need to have a witness going out throughout the earth. That was last week. Today we're talking about E-R-E-A-L, engaging influencers. And I just have two thoughts today, and they tie right together. 1 point, two thoughts. Here they are. You ready? Write them down. You're salt and you are light. You are salt and you are light. Now I want to read scripture. Got to go fast. Got to preach fast today. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now, there's several things I want to say to you about salt. Number one, you are salt. Say that with me. I am salt. You're salt. This is not an analogy. Now, last week was an analogy. Jesus used fishing as an analogy to catching men. But here he says, he didn't say you are like salt. He says you are salt. Salt in the Bible and in that culture was very important at the time. It was used for a multiplicity of things. In fact, you can go online on the internet and you can type in uses of salt. And there are websites that will tell you 50 or 60 ways that you can use salt. One way that you can use salt is you can tell a fresh egg from a spoiled egg by using salt. Check it out. Salt can be used to put out grease fires. Salt can be used for many, many things. But there are certain things that I want to hone in on that I believe that are biblical that we need to see about salt. Salt was used in the Old Testament for every sacrifice that was made in Israel. It was such important to God that he told them that whatever they sacrificed, they were to use salt on it. Now, I don't think that means that God likes the taste of salt. But there was something significant because I think salt has some symbolism in the scripture. And it has to do with longevity. It has to do with preservation. It has to do with some of these things that we're going to talk about. In fact, and I don't know if you've ever thought of this or heard of this before, but the Bible talks about a covenant of salt. A covenant of salt in the Old Testament. Now, let me give you some ways that salt is used for. It is used to preserve things. Now, you know, in our culture today, we have freezers and refrigerators. But you know, my mom was in the first service, and I remember her talking about the smokehouse. How many of you ever heard of a smokehouse? Now, that's not where you go smoke, okay? So let me see them hands again. How many of you ever seen a smokehouse? Have you ever ate anything out of a smokehouse? Wow. And what they would do, they would take their meats in there and they would smoke them and they would use salt and they would cure and preserve that meat. And it would give longevity to that meat or to whatever it is that they preserved with salt. So salt in Scripture was used as a preservative. And when Jesus says that we are salt, he is saying that we are a preservative. There are situations that we can come into, and when I'm talking about salt and light, I'm talking about your lifestyle. I'm not necessarily talking about your story. I'm talking about your lifestyle. Let me say this, and you have probably encountered this. Have you ever had someone talk to you about God and their lifestyle just didn't measure up? You didn't really want to hear that, did you? I mean, you found out that they were hypocritical. And I think in some ways we may all be hypocritical a little bit. But I'm talking about they presented themselves as one way and they were another way. Their story and their lifestyle didn't match up. And this is what we're talking about today is your lifestyle. Because your lifestyle will open them to hear your story. In fact, until they see your salt and light, they probably don't care much about your story. See, how long has it been since someone has walked up to you and say, you know, I've been watching you and I don't know what it is that makes you different than everybody else. What is that? And that's an opportunity for you to tell your story. See, salt and light will open the door for the story. And a lot of times, till they see the salt and light, they don't want to hear the story. They don't want to see your glory. They don't even want to hear your story. Okay? So salt preserves. It also enhances taste. I love to put salt on my food. You know what I put on my French fries? Salt. Why? Makes them taste better. You know what I put on my baked potato? Salt. Makes it taste better. What do you put on your steak? You put salt on it. You know, I've even had this happen, and it's crazy how this works, but you can like peach cobbler or something like that. Maybe it's not quite sweet enough or something. You can take a little salt and you can put on it, and it just brings the flavor out of that. It makes it sweeter. I've even put salt on my ice cream. It enhances the taste. It adds flavor to our food. See, Jesus said, you're salt. You should add flavor everywhere you're at. If we're really the salt, we should add to, not take away from. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know how they're going to taste and see that the Lord is good? They're going to look at your life. They're going to have a taste of your life. And that's how many people will know about God. Can I ask you a question today? When people taste of your life, what do they think about God? I think that's a question that we need to pause and ask ourselves. We really need to pause and ask ourselves that question. See, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to every person here today. I believe that when I minister His Word, that the Holy Spirit has things that He wants to say to you. And my question is, will you listen? What do people say about God when they taste of your life? Another thing that salt does, that it influences. The scripture that we read a while ago, it says, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor or savor? Now that word savor, lost its savor, has the ideal of becoming foolish. What happens when a believer loses his saltiness? He becomes foolish. Now in nature, salt is found usually next to a rock in nature. I didn't know this, but I found this out. That salt is naturally next to a rock and it's cleansed by water. If it gets separated from the rock and exposed to the elements of the earth, it becomes impure. So here's the analogy here. As believers, when we stay close to the rock, Jesus, and are washed by the water, which is the Word, it purifies our lives. When we get away from the rock, maybe we get offended at church and we pull away. Or we even get offended at God because we prayed a prayer and we didn't think that He answered it. And we're mad at God and we pull away. See, one of the enemy's greatest tools against believers is offense and isolation. And when he gets them isolated, they become easy prey. They get exposed to the elements of the world. And we become foolish. When we stay close to the rock and are cleansed by the water, it purifies us. And listen, I don't know about you, but I need that. I need to stay close to Christ. I need to stay in His Word because I have a life to live. I do. I'm not trying to be a better preacher, although I am trying to be a better preacher. That's not my goal. My goal is to be more like Christ. I don't tell people when I go into places, bless God, I'm a preacher. Because they act different. They act weird. They act saved. Now, if they didn't know if I was a preacher, they don't act saved. I'd rather not tell them and let my light shine and open up an opportunity for me to be salt and light and an opportunity for me to tell my story, not as a preacher, but as a believer. I'm a preacher before I'm a believer before I'm a preacher. I became a Christian before I became a pastor. And I'm still that. I'm a Christian before I'm anything else. So we don't need to become foolish. We got to stay close to the rock and in the water. Then the last thing is that salt has been used as a disinfectant. Have you ever heard of pouring salt in a wound? You know, there's an old saying, well, it's just like pouring salt in a wound. Well, actually, salt in a wound has been used in times past as a way to disinfect. And salt can be used in many ways to disinfect. Okay, let's talk about light. The second thing that Jesus says is that you are the light of the world. Say this with me. I am light. I am salt. I am light. That's what we're supposed to be. If we're going to engage to influence, then we have to be salt and light, and that is our lifestyle. Your lifestyle will open the door for you to share your story. Lack of good lifestyle will close the door on your story. It will make it ineffective. Okay, quickly. Verse 14 of Matthew 5. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine. Listen, look at that. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. One translation says that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what our number one calling in life is? Is to glorify God. You know the main way that we glorify God is by being salt and light. Being reflectors of light. Because here's one thing that you need to know about light. You know, Jesus said that when he was in the world, he was the light of the world. But before he left, he turned to the disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But you know, the light that he had and the light that we have, see, what we are not the source of light. We are reflectors of light. Maybe you knew this and maybe you didn't, but the moon does not have light. It doesn't have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. But the fullness of the moon is determined by its relationship to the sun. Actually, when the moon is furthest away from the sun, it shines the brightest. But it's facing the earth. When the moon is closest to the sun, with its really what we would say with its back to the sun, it gives off no light. It's a new moon. When it's on the other side of the earth, it gives its most light. And what we see is the moon phases, it waxes and wanes in different positions, it gives more or less light. It has to do with its relationship to the sun. You do not produce your own light. You reflect the light of Jesus, the light of the world, and it has to do with your relationship to him. And that's why he said, you're the light of the world. I'm lighting you, not so that you can hide it in a bushel. No, not so you can hide it in the church house. Where does he want our light to shine? Out there. Well, in here too, but out there. Do people know that you're a Christian? Do people know that you're a Christ follower? Have you ever had somebody walk up to you and say, I didn't know you was a Christian. I just found out that you was a Christian. That ought to just smack you right in the face. That ought to make you examine your life and think, okay, I'm hiding my light, or something's wrong. I need to be introspective, and I need to look at some things. But see, you have been called to be the light of the world. Jesus is in heaven. He's not the light. Listen, the church is the light. Who's the church? You are. As members of the body of Christ, you're the light of the world. Where do you need to be the light at? Wherever you're at. Where you work. Where you shop. Where you play. At your house. Where your children are concerned. You need to be light. It's not something that we put on and take off like a garment. It's something that we are. And that's what God is looking for in us, to be salt and light. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. Can you imagine how your life would be different if we would take this serious? If we would really take this serious and take it to heart and think every day and pray every day, Lord, help me to be salt and light today. Help me to get my mind off of me and my problems and my woes. And Lord, may I not act like the world. May I not be negative today, but may I be a reflector of your light. You know what? When I get caught up in the gossip that goes on around me, I'm not reflecting the light. I'm not. But how could our lives be different if we would take this serious? Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, I know that you're speaking to hearts here today. Lord, I pray that every heart would be open and receptive to hear what you're saying. Not only to hear, but to listen and obey. Thank you for speaking to your people in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you have any kind of need in your life, maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anybody here can pray with you to receive Christ. Whatever your need is today, if you need prayer for anything that you're dealing with in life, this is not a place for counseling. This is a place for prayer. And if you have prayer needs today, we invite you to come now in Jesus' name. Would you come?